Welcome. My name is Chloe Ballatore. I'm a relationship and communication expert. I'm a graduate of Princeton University and Pat Allen's Want Institute. I have been doing this work for about 13 years now. I work with men, I work with women, I work with couples, I work with teenagers. I also teach this work in smaller groups. And I basically teach my books in module packages. So you can sign up for those if you want to check those out. Most of my resources are linked at my website, which is chloesconsciousnesstraining.squarespace.com. I've also written 4 books on this work, and those are available on Amazon. And the first 2 books are the basis of my module 1 and module 2 classes. So the first book has the basics of this work. It's called How to Live, Find Love, and Keep It. And though that's the best book if you want just the guidelines and the basic tools. And then my second book, which is New Ways of Being, The Pain of Change, is about what happens when we navigate change, when we start to do these things, because that's one of the least explored aspects of healing and therapeutic recovery, is what happens when we begin to change. Because when we begin to change, it is a painful process, and that can be unexpected and confusing and can cause us to stop. So I really like to explain to people about the pain of change and help them through that. There's two kinds of pain: the pain that change needs to take place and the pain that change is already taking place. So that's what we really go into in the second book. Okay, so I'm gonna give a brief background of the scholarship that this work is based on. And then I'm going to take your questions. I know we have a high bi letter that we're going to be working on tonight, and the structure of the high bi letter is in my book, How to Live. And high bi letters are good for any defunct relationship, but they're especially good with romantic relationships. So we'll be getting into that in a little bit. Okay. So when we talk about successful relationships, what we're chiefly talking about is the balance between feminine and masculine energy. And there's a lot of confusion about what feminine and masculine is. So sometimes I use the terms yin for feminine and yang for masculine simply because they're less charged in our society. So, for example, yin energy, feminine energy, the right hemisphere of the brain. All of us have a right hemisphere, men and women, where we are passive, patient, vulnerable. This is the seat of feelings, of magic, of creativity, sexuality, sensuality, receiving. Feminine energy is in the world to make it fun, but it's not of the world. And then all of us have that left brain, which is the more masculine side. This is the part of us that is thinking, doing, achieving, competing, conquering, controlling. Most of us are in our masculine when we're at work, for example. This is the realm of single-mindedness. And oftentimes, women who are very high achieving have trouble shifting into that feminine energy when they're not at work because they're so used to doing and achieving. So I help high achieving women as well learn about feminine energy to see if they want to shift into it in their personal lives. Now, the most successful relationships are those that are balanced between feminine and masculine energy, including the relationship that you have with yourself. So all of us, as I said in the beginning, are both, but most of us have one that is a little bit more authentic to us in our personal lives, a little bit more that we're leaning into. And oftentimes, that is a result of the sexual organs we were born with. Not always, but often. I'd say 75 to 85% of the time. That doesn't mean you can't be a feminine man with a masculine woman. That's still balanced. That will work. Obviously, these tools work for homosexual relationships as well. You have a butch and a femme, you have a top and a bottom. These tools translate regardless because it's about energy more than it's about organs. Now, a lot of us are thrown off of our authentic balance when we have childhood trauma between the ages of 0 and 12, whether that's trauma with a small T or a big T, doesn't really matter. What matters in this context is how you process it. And often, how we process trauma as young children is by sacrificing our authenticity in favor of attachment. So we get into habits of coping that we think are based on existential truths, but they're really strategies of the moment. And when we take them into our adult life, they often end up sabotaging what we want, and specifically sabotaging our intimate romantic relationships. And so if you've ever noticed that you're in a bad pattern and you're not quite sure how to fix it, or that you married your mom when you specifically set out not to do that, this is the repetition compulsion. This is the subconscious and the unconscious mind at work. Because if you don't bring consciousness to your childhood trauma, you won't simply grow out of it. You will grow into it. And so that will become your permanent reality if you don't bring consciousness and awareness to it and put effort into changing your script. Basically, making counter injunctions against the injunctions of your scripts. And we get into a lot of that in module 1 and 2 and 3. Scripting is a kind of a bigger term that was coined by Eric Byrne, Claude Steiner, Richard Erskine also worked a lot with scripting. And scripting refers simply to the narrative that you come up with in your childhood to understand the world. And most scripts are negative. However, we do have the power to change these scripts. Again, that process is a painful process, but it is possible. So Freud was wrong about that. He thought that everyone was cooked by age 3, and certainly by age 12. But once we have consciousness, once we move into adulthood, we do have the power to change our scripting. And it's a process that takes persistence, but it's incredibly rewarding. Okay. Now, Betsy, I know we're going to start. You had a hi bye letter that you wanted to send for your ex-boyfriend, or you were thinking of sending. Hi, Gabriella. So I'm just going to read what is the prescription for the hi-bye letter, and then I want you to read what you wrote. Okay. So again, the hi-bye letter is for any defunct relationship. So if you're ghosted, if you guys have kind of dropped off for some reason, if you can't even really remember what was the last conversation? You can, but you want to reconnect, you can use this hi-bye letter. And usually you write the hi-bye letter after like a couple weeks or a month, but you don't send it until 8 weeks. Why 8 weeks? Because 8 weeks is the time that it takes for your heart and your head to go back and forth, to ruminate. Now, some people are stuck in rumination constantly, and that's not healthy. But the average rumination time is 8 weeks. Okay. So the first paragraph of the letter is a simple statement. I'm writing to give you an overview of our relationship. Okay. We haven't talked in a while. You can play with the phrasing, but don't change it too much. The second paragraph is a list of all the things that you like. The third paragraph is all the things you do not like. The fourth paragraph explains what you want in a relationship, and the fifth mentions what you don't want. You conclude with a sixth paragraph, which is a simple statement: I wish you all the best and thank you for the lessons. And then you decide at 8 weeks if you want to send it. This is the best tool that I've seen in my work and in my lifetime to resuscitate a relationship, i.e., if he's gonna come back, this is the tool. if this doesn't work, and probably nothing will in that moment. Okay, so Betsy, you had a guy, you were dating. You want to explain?
Yeah, we were dating long distance for a little over a year, and over time, just things started to fall apart. And we live in different places, obviously, but I just moved into a new place, and I was going through some rough times. Nothing too serious, just some bumps in the road in my life. And he just started to respond less and less. And then he just stopped responding completely. And I chose to not chase after him because my routine or my habit was when he got quiet or weird, I would talk to him about it and try to repair. And so I just decided to not do that this time. And then I just never heard from him again. That was April. The last text that I sent to him was April 17th. And then he called me and left a voicemail on my birthday on May 8th.
Okay.
And I didn't respond
Right.
because, because we talked about it and I chose not to. And I felt good about that because I was already pretty hurt and I just didn't feel like saying like, oh, thanks. Like, by the way, why haven't you talked to me in 3 weeks?
Right.
Okay. So, I have my letter.
Okay, let's hear it. But there's some kind of weird echo. Is there something you can do about that? When I'm talking, I'm hearing it a little bit.
Let's see. I
Like,
can try moving to a different part of the house here. Is that any better?
let's see. Yeah, I don't hear it. Perfect.
It
Thank you,
is.
Betsy. Okay.
Okay, good, good, good.
Okay, read
Okay.
us your letter.
So I'm just going to call him Paul. Dear Paul, I am writing to give you an overview of our defunct relationship. I like that word, by the way. I just stuck that in there.
Good.
Let's see. I went over this. Okay, here is a list of all the things I liked about you. You are handsome. You have a stable career. You're responsible, financially stable. You have a nice home. You're funny, very chivalrous. You made me feel safe and protected, especially in the beginning of the relationship and throughout. And you always laughed at my jokes. You loved my cooking. You're a great cuddler. You have good hygiene and a clean, tidy home. You took me out to really nice dinners and always paid. You made efforts to visit me in the beginning when we lived far apart. You made me feel seen and appreciated. You were generous with your home and your belongings when I came to visit. Here's a list of things I didn't like about you. You abandoned me when things got tough. You gave me the silent treatment instead of communicating. You didn't honor my boundaries from the start. You had an addiction to work, an addiction to your phone, and you were always looking at your phone when we were together. You act one way in front of other people, but differently towards me and behind closed doors. Going hiking with you was always awkward and tense. It was like you didn't feel comfortable just letting yourself relax, and we would go hiking, and you would not talk, and you'd be in a bad mood, and that made it very uncomfortable for me. After a disagreement, you would ignore it and act as if nothing happened. You would speak in different voices instead of being genuine. You had quirks and tics that bothered me a lot. Now, this is something I wouldn't write, that I wouldn't put this in the letter if I sent it to him, but because it's kind of personal, but I was just writing out everything.
Yeah, right out of, yeah.
Okay. But you had quirks and tics such as clicking your teeth and spitting and popping your ears and chewing your nails and making dog noises. And you would interrupt me when I was speaking.
That's a lot. Okay.
You would get impatient with me if I had an issue. You would avoid me if you knew I was upset. You were a poor listener and always interrupted me. You don't read books or listen to any podcasts to try to learn about yourself. You never wanted to talk about the future or make plans together. You would say a lot of things but not do them. You made false promises. You didn't communicate well. You would lose your temper often, several times a week. You told lies and you withheld the truth on many occasions. You were very closed off to certain conversation topics about the past. You would get angry at small things. You were a dangerous and aggressive driver. You didn't plan dates or activities with me. You wouldn't participate in the activities that I wanted to do. You had no interest in singing or dancing together, which is just something that I like to do and I find joyful. You didn't show much interest in me or as a person, in me as a person or in my life. You were constantly watching media on your phone and computer when I was sitting right next to you when we could have been talking. You had an immature sense of humor, unhealthy eating habits, and I felt like my nervous system was always dysregulated around you, especially towards the end of our relationship. You were closed-minded to progressive ideas, and you had an uncomfortably close relationship with your mother. You had very few personal interests, and you have not worked on yourself.
That's a big one.
Okay, so
Okay.
things I do want in a relationship moving forward, things I do want. I want clear and open communication, honesty, mutual or common interests. I want emotional intelligence, depth, balanced conversation of sharing and asking questions. I want shared value in healthy lifestyle and eating habits and exercise. I would like to be with someone that has similar energy
I'm
levels.
gonna flag that. Would like. You don't expect that.
Oh,
Two
okay.
people want to buy a car. Want, would like. Who's getting the car?
I
Right.
want. Okay. I want mutual interest in sensual touch. I want to feel calm in each other's presence, romantic efforts and gestures for each other. And passionate and sustained chemistry.
Very nice.
Things I don't want in my relationship moving forward. Poor communication, lying, secrets, cheating, narcissism, abuse, poor health habits, anyone with history of serious addiction, pushing boundaries, closed-mindedness, lack or little creativity, or lack of or little creativity, a homebody or lazy, immature behavior, irresponsible with money, no sense of adventure, and haven't worked on themselves.
Okay.
So I've learned so much from getting to know you. I wish you all the best and thank you for the lessons.
Nice. Very good.
Thanks.
Very good job. And these, it's you said at the top that you're not a good writer, and I've heard that before from people, and sometimes that is an obstacle to writing these, because if someone thinks they're not a good writer, but they almost always, even from people who say they're not good writers, they almost always turn out very moving and poignant, as
No,
did
thank you.
yours. So, good job. Did you notice that the section of things that you don't like about him was a lot longer than the
Yes.
section? Okay.
Yes, I did. And that that really came to me a little bit later on, because as the veil kind of dissolved, I realized there were a lot of things that were really dysfunctional. So
Yeah,
that I
there's a
was
lot of
actually
things you
really,
didn't like. I did find that striking.
yeah, there was. And because I'm in my angry phase right now, and I was
That's
like, you know
okay.
what?
No, that there's a lot of things you don't like. I think that it's good for you to see that
Okay.
because it's not the loss. It's not quite the loss that you had anticipated, right? Once you see all these
Right.
things, you're like,
Yes.
I mean, I'm thinking because one of the main things that you said you didn't want in a relationship is lying, that this is like something of a relief
Yeah.
to not have this person in your life because there were a lot of things overlap. That was my second point. There's a lot of overlap in the things that you didn't like about him and the things that you don't want in a relationship in general,
Yes.
thematically. So that also was striking. How are you feeling? Now you're only a month. It hasn't even been a full month. How are you feeling about sending it in? I mean, we'll talk about it in another month. But what are your thoughts on it now? If I ask you, how do you feel about sending it now? What is
My thoughts are, I mean, I could send it. I've sent him multiple, like, loving cards and things over time. He's never sent me anything. He's never written me a card or a letter or anything like that. So I feel like I don't want to put more effort into it than I already have.
I agree. Okay.
If that makes sense. And I think he would read it and just feel crappier than he already does about himself, and he probably wouldn't even let it affect him. I mean, it would affect him probably in a negative way. I don't think he would take any of it seriously or make
Right.
any changes.
Well, it's
So.
interesting because usually I do recommend that people send them.
Okay.
We'll see where you're at in another month. But in this case, I'm almost thinking in another month, you're going to be less interested in sending it. Because, like you've already said, the veil's starting to lift. And yes, he called you on your birthday, so we reset the clock. But really, you hadn't talked to him for a long time already, right? Since April.
Right. Yeah.
So he's already started to drift away. And I think, look, if you don't want to get back with him, then, and you don't think you'll gain anything by giving him the letter, then there's no point to it. Oftentimes, when we give the letter, we hope that the person will pick up the phone and go, "Hey, Betsy, what? Like, what happened? This was a huge misunderstanding." But now there has been a lot of time and there's been a pattern. And now, when I hear exactly what you put in your letter, I'm like, I don't know if she wants to get back with him.
No, I don't. I
Yeah.
don't.
So I'm
He's a
thinking
big piece of
for
work.
right. I mean, we can check in on it in another month, but I'm thinking for right now, especially the part about how he doesn't want to evolve. And I know just from this group, like the last couple months, I know that that's an essential part of who you are, is
Oh.
evolving and becoming better and learning and changing. I mean, you wouldn't be in this group if you weren't. So, yeah, it's sounding really like you guys aren't compatible. And maybe you had some chemistry, but your communication was bad. So, those are the three C's that we need for a successful relationship: chemistry, which is a gift from God. You have it or you don't, usually. Sometimes it grows for women when they get to know a guy. For men, it's usually on or off. Compatibility. Do you want the same things? Is one of you in the feminine? Is one of you in the masculine? Do you get along, literally, right? Does somebody cook? Is there a balance? That's the compatibility. And I'm not even hearing that. And then the
Yeah.
communication, which is what we can work on most. But he only if, I mean, I don't, oftentimes I work with couples, but I'll just work with the woman because the women usually carry the feminine, the spiritual energy of the relationship. And so if you make changes and they're in love with you, then they'll make changes. Sometimes, though, I work with the whole couple. In this case, this isn't a guy who seems interested in making changes in general. So I feel pessimistic about that, in terms of his communication, you know?
I mean, the main thing that hung me on, that kept me hanging on, was just the daily check-ins, like, hey, how's it going? I miss you, I love you, and just it was just words and
Right.
brief text. It didn't have substance. It was just very kind of superficial. So I'm kind of grieving that interaction really deeply for some reason. Just having someone say, I love you,
Yeah.
is very powerful to me, but I'm starting to realize that, like, it's just kind of empty if you're not going to show it.
Exactly. And it's actually, I know it's sad in this moment, but it's just great for you to know sooner rather than later that he's not a man of his word, you know. And to take comfort from something that's empty only puts you at a disadvantage, you know. So I get that you're mourning the loss of that illusion, and that's totally normal. But I just want you to also keep in mind and keep in perspective that that is for the best, because it's better to know, you know. And as you do this work, if you're not already kind of gravitating toward this idea, but what I find and what I've seen a lot of clients experience is that you move from quantity into quality. So it just becomes less important to have your phone ringing all the time and more important to have that one person or that two people. Your circle gets small, but it gets more quality in it. You see what I'm saying? Because you're better able to flesh the communication and read signs. And you saw his words and deeds weren't lining up. So, you know, I know it's painful. And of course, people want to hear, I love you every day. But it also is a, if after a while, if it's not followed up by actions, because behavior is also a language, then it just becomes a brain scramble and it just becomes confusing, you know?
It's like this deep, deep disappointment where I'm just like, oh man. Like, if someone came to me and was like, hey, there's these things about a relationship that you're doing that, I want to talk to you about. Like, I want to grow. I want to work on stuff. I want to be the best human and, girlfriend, partner I can be. And I mean, he was so closed off to that, but I guess what I'm trying to say is, I'm just beating a dead something,
I just, it doesn't sound like he has the capacity really to be the person. He's not really, he's, you're kind of leveling up at, away from him.
I'm leveling up. It's just a little
Yeah.
transition zone right now.
Yeah, it's
So,
not comfortable. It's not pleasant.
yeah.
But
So
if,
disappointing. Just
yeah.
like, really,
But
you're just gonna let it
also,
go that easy?
that is also the, touching, you've touched your childhood wound. So that's also what's happening. So it's more about that than it is about this guy. And so sometimes that's comforting for people to understand that because they know that what happened to them as a child, well, nothing that happens to an adult can really rival that. Simply because of the developmental window that it occurred during. And so, you know, yes, you're upset about this guy, but you're always, you're also primaling that original wound. So some of the tears are for that. You understand?
Definitely,
Yeah.
totally.
And it's great for that to be coming out because if it stays in your body, you're a yoga teacher, you know, it manifests as disease. So it's
Lots of
what works.
abandonment and neglect in my childhood, and I just keep attracting the same, and abuse. And it's like
Choosing,
the
not
people I
attracting.
date are either abusive or they neglect.
So
Sometimes both.
now you found me, and so we're going to pick someone different next time.
Yeah.
Have you been able to do any of the duty dating or the flirting or anything?
A little bit.
Okay,
Yeah.
good.
I've just been putting myself out there a little bit more and doing things that I don't like super want to do, but I'm just trying to get out. I went to a friend's kid's birthday party, just thinking,
Good.
oh, maybe there'll be single dads there.
Absolutely.
I
I love
went
a
to
hot
see a
Zaddy.
band. Yeah. And I went to see a band, and it was like an older crowd, and and I mean, I'm middle-aged, but it was people even older than me. So I felt it made
So
me
you were like
feel
the hot
kind
young thing for them.
of yeah, so it made
You
me
were their
feel
teenage dream.
that was a bit of an ego boost. I also
Excellent.
started, I did give someone my number couple weeks ago that I had met online, and I told him what I was going through, just kind of fresh out of a breakup. And he's in town. He's from a different part of the state, but he's like an hour and a half away, and I don't know if I should ask him to come visit me, if that would be,
Is he
or if I should
calling
wait
you?
for. He's been calling me every, yeah, like once a week.
Okay, that's good. That's good.
Yeah.
Has he brought up visiting you or inviting you to his spot or asking you out or making plans or anything?
No, he hasn't. I think he's trying to be polite and cautious,
Right.
maybe.
And not maybe put himself out there and make you do
Yeah.
it. Okay, so the
Because
only
I
thing.
shouldn't do it, right?
Right.
Okay.
Okay, bye, Gabriella. Put a
Bye.
little message in there. Yeah, I mean, there's a couple things you can do. I mean, going forward, and this will help mitigate your vulnerability a little bit. Going forward, we're going to be paying like really close attention to how a man acts. Excuse me. And how he cherishes you. So I would say that, don't ask him, don't invite him over unless you have an event that you need an escort to, or you have something you need help with. So if there's something that you could say, like, oh, my roof is leaking. I remember you said you're like an expert with roofs, or, I'm just spitballing. Something like that. Or I have two tickets to Red Rocks. My friend just dropped out. Do you want to come?
Okay.
And then that can kind of get you over the hump. But then don't make a habit of it. If he comes, let him pay for whatever, let him open the door for you, still let him be in the masculine.
Okay.
Okay.
Great.
Yay. Okay, good. Well, I'm really proud of you that you're getting out there and flirting and doing your thing and doing the duty dating. And I think, I know this is still like a painful memory, but you're kind of getting over it pretty quickly, so that's good.
I'm getting there. Yeah, I haven't cried in the past couple of days, so that's a huge step.
Yeah, but also crying is cool.
Yeah.
Let it out, because we just want all this shit to come out, and we don't want to be scared of it.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, well, excellent work.
Thank you. Thank you so much for your feedback.
You are so welcome. I'm glad we got to do the hi bye letter. And I'll be here next week. I think June 12th, I won't be here, but I'm usually here Thursday nights. So I love to talk to you guys and see you. And if I don't hear from you, I'll see you next week. Have a good night.
All right, thanks. Good night. Bye.